is a leaders meeting again. No pun intended. It's a leaders meeting. And so greatest thing we can do first and foremost is let God lead us by the Spirit, and we lead ourselves, you know, by being disciplined. And I think the one of the greatest things, the best way to explain discipline is to, oh, Bambi's having her food as well. Best way to have discipline is to actually set yourself something to do and tell yourself to go and do it. Be disciplined with ourselves. You know, we can discipline ourselves in the things that we need to do. And like, I didn't really fancy getting up and going and getting the haircut. And there was a good excuse not to go. Well, I might not go tomorrow, but I don't think like that. You know, I'm going tomorrow. That's my thinking and my confession and my desire. So what do I go and do? I go and get my haircut, ready to go. So we want to be ready to go on every area. And laborers and leaders are ready to go people. They're people that are hungry, people that are desiring, people that are willing to follow. You know, because we got to be good followers if we want to be good leaders. We got to, if you want to be a great leader, be a great follower. Practice the things. Paul says, be followers of me, because my ways are in Christ, you know. And he didn't even know Jesus. And so just bear with me. Let me put this. This is the bleeping and the blooping and the things that you hear in the background, because I forget to put my phone down. So there you go. It's down now. So, yeah, so all these things are very important, that we stay focused with God and we don't let the distractions come in with the bleeping and the blooping and the bleating my ears. So God wants us to be heart. He wants us to be an example. He wants us to lead. He wants, you know, we need to lead ourselves with God. We need to let him lead us and do exactly what he's putting in our hearts to do. That's the first thing that all of us are to do, you know. And then if we want to move forward, then we've got to kind of be with the program of what we're doing and what's being encouraged, you know, like that focus together, that one body, that one Lord, that one hope, that one faith, that one baptism. You know, we're moving together in unity. They had unity and purpose in the scriptures, and where there's unity, there's purpose, there's commencement. We can move forward. But if there isn't unity, you know, let me go there, actually, even though I haven't prayed or anything, let me just quickly share this as a by thing. Book of Acts. The Book of Acts. Okay, so we know the score. They all got, you know, there was 3,000 added to the church on the day of Pentecost, daily, such as should have been saved or being made whole. And then it says in verse 40, and with many other words did he, that's Peter, testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. So you've got to save yourself. You've got to make the right decisions. You've got to desire the right things. You've got to want the right things if you're going to save yourself. So it's, you know, we should be careful who we listen to and what we follow, right? And then it says to this untoward generation, you know, then they that gladly received his words. So sometimes people don't gladly receive their words. They don't gladly receive mine, maybe, or yours. But those that do gladly receive the words were baptized, born again. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's a lot of people in one day, isn't it? That's what we want. We want these jackpot days. We want our day of Pentecost again. You know, where people are coming because of the words that we're speaking by the Holy Spirit. And we got to speak it with fire and with passion in our hearts, you know, with no fear, you know, no fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And he hasn't made us woke. You know, we don't get offended if we get reproved. We don't get offended if we get corrected, because it's all there for a benefit. And when it's done godly, it's there to edify, it's there to encourage, and it's there to keep us on course. So, you know, Paul talks about running our course. So we want to run the course. We want to run the race with a focus and a finishing end and with a purpose. And when we got that, we can run. Because if you don't know your finishing end, where's the finishing line? You know, what are we aiming at? We've got to aim at something, you know? That's what focus is. You know, we're aiming at something, a target for us to accomplish. And there's little goals along the way, you know, with passing the baton as well as we go along, getting other people to to run, and other people to rise up. For it says, and they that continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the words, what to believe. Doctrine is how to believe rightly. They were given, the apostles' doctrine was so that the people that received the words could believe rightly. And fellowship, they continued fellowship, that full sharing, that's koinonia. They fully shared, they weren't being quiet, they wasn't keeping away from each other, they wasn't secretly disagreeing or resisting, but they were being involved, giving their opinions. You know, maybe they didn't understand something that was being done, but they had the boldness and the freedom to say, well, I don't agree with this because I don't understand it. Why are you doing what you're doing in the manner you're doing that? Nothing wrong with questions. We need to be able to ask questions. And leadership need to be able to give you an answer to why they're doing what they're doing. You know, no one's an idol on their own. No one's a dictator here. You know, we can come back to the scriptures. We can show what we're doing and the reasons why we're doing what we're doing in the manner that we're doing it. You know, why are we having a leaders meeting? Why do we have Zoom fellowship every Thursday? Why do we connect? Why do we honor God? Why do we speak in tongues? Why do we speak by the Spirit? Why do we pray for laborers? You know, there's a reason for the things that we're doing, and it's called outreach and growth and doing the will of God from the heart and the things that he wants us to do, because God shows us how we can really move and live and have our being. And there shouldn't be no constraint. We should all be free to give great words of encouragement. We're not here to criticize, condemn, and to complain. You want to get that? Go and join the fellowship of the world. They criticize, they condemn, they complain, they point the finger, oh, this guy ain't doing it right, and this woman there, she's got her head up her ass or whatever. You know, people will be people. We're not like that. We're extraordinary. We're different, right? If you think you're extraordinary, then you need to be extraordinary. You need to show yourself to be extraordinary. You show yourself to be different, and you do it from your heart, you know, because you're not afraid to say what your faith is and how you're living and why you're doing what you're doing. We're to give an answer to every man to ask us the reason of the hope that's in us, why we do what we do, why we speak the way we speak, why we plan the way we plan, why do we go on trips, why do you have to go to India, why do you have to go to Nepal, why do you have to go to USA, why do you have to go to England, because we all need something outside of our natural environment, right, where we are all the time, because there's a big wide world. And if there's other people not willing to speak the gospel and go because of the gospel of Christ, you know, you can go for a holiday if you want. I could go to India for a holiday if I want, you know, but I'm not going there for a holiday. I'm going there to learn and to also give and to impart. I'm not going just to take. I got some stuff to say. I got some stuff to encourage. I got some testimonies to tell. And people love it. They love it when we do that. So it's called a full sharing. So these guys continued in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking in bread and in prayers. You know, Bambi's breaking bread. Becky's breaking bread. We're going to be breaking bread in a minute together here. And fear or respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. See, that heart at the beginning, the continuing steadfastly, receiving the words gladly, continuing the fellowship, create the atmosphere for signs, miracles, and wonders. Because there was like mind, there was heart. God shows up in those situations. He's always present, but whether he shows up is a different thing, right? He showed himself to Moses. Why? Because Moses was so meek, so he could reveal himself to him. And when we're so meek, God will reveal himself to us. He's not a respecter of persons, but he knows your heart. He knows when you're ready. He's not going to waste his effort and time to give you something that you're going to cast on the floor. He doesn't throw his pearls before swine, so to speak. Jesus Christ talked about those things. So leaders are a different caliber, you know, because we're focused, we're dedicated, we're not living unto ourselves, but as the theme of the year is, we're living what? Unto God. So who are you living unto? Ask yourself right now, really, right, be honest with yourself, right where you are in your walk, today, as of up to this day and present, who you've been living unto, then you'll see why you got what you got and what's going on, why it's going on. So when we make that little change, that little focus, you know, there's lots of things we can do personally recreationally or business-wise and all that. That's all great, but is God first in all that you do? And and are we honest with what we're doing? This is where God blesses the things properly, you know? So anyway, fear come upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. So we're together because we're believing right now. You're believing, I'm believing, we're looking for something from God, we're all looking for a bit of direction, good encouragement. We're not here just to say hi, we could be doing other things, couldn't we, right now? But we're here because number one, God is first for us. And we are looking for that direction from God. What is God going to speak through the leaders today? What is God showing? What's the overall conversation going to be coming from each person's mouth? Because really, we should be all listening to everyone. Everyone should listen to everyone. And then you pick up what God is saying by everyone. Yeah, and then there's specific encouragement and directions on specific things coming from me as a leader, leader of this leaders meeting. And I got to give God's instruction as he shows. And I got to not think of me, and I'm not going to be a dictator to anyone else. But my job is to present whatever God puts in my heart and leave it there. Leave it with you, and it's up to you what you do with it. And if you're carnal, you'll judge me carnally. Or if you're spiritual, you'll judge me after the spirit. And then you line it up with what does God say. So it's very, very simple. We can all speak good words and fair speeches. We're all good at speaking, all of us on here. We can all touch people's hearts I'm just all about our natural ability. The person that God has made us to be and who we've grown up to be, we can all bless people. We all got a bit of a personality with us, right? You need a bit of charismatic there somewhere to get people's attention, right? And God uses that. But when it's influenced by the Holy Spirit and God working you, then you can have a big impact. But if we do it from egos or knowledge or any other basis, it don't cut the ice. It'll end up causing something that's not from God. It takes it away into another plane, and it's not God's plane, So anyway, all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men as every man had need. The need of whatever was needed at that time was met through the believers, through the majority, not just the ones that had a lot and those that didn't have a lot. There was equality there amongst the people. And they continued, all of them, all of these guys continued daily, with one accord. Unity and purpose comes from one accord. Unity in the vision, unity in the direction. And they had that was their purpose. And so they was able to move forward. So God has given us things through this year that can build that unity and that purpose, like the travel to the USA, like my travel to India, like my travel to Nepal. It's going to come up as well. And so I'm going to go there too, like my own personal family time with my family. There's going to be unity and purpose amongst us. God needs to be living in amongst, even though everyone's left the nest, we're going to be there giving the encouragement from God. That's what we always do, isn't it?
Yeah.
We always give advice. We're working maybe with certain people's problems and all that, and encouraging them, loving them, being an example, praying with them, getting them to pray. It's not all about holiday. It is a holiday, but it's not all about that. We're ministering. That's what we're about. My life is nothing else but that. I'm not interested in anything. There's nothing in this world I really, really want apart from to see the people that I'm working with rise up and move the same way and greater, and to help people that are sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to bring them from darkness to light by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, to rise up new leaders, fresh builds, fresh people, people that are humble, people that don't take me for granted as a leader because they got familiar with me, but people that love me, respect me, because I love and I respect them. I hold the line too, so I might be a little bit strong for some people, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, and it's called love. Love is holding the line. Like Kim was saying with the children, even though I messed up, I didn't want my kids to mess up, so I was pretty strict with them. And they'll tell you, them Danny can give an account of that. my daughter Leanne can give an account of that, and Carl can give an account of that. In fact, I get so blessed, even though Daddy's laughing, I get so blessed. Carl, my older son, he come up here, and he's not long had his daughter, and usually he's very quiet around me, because I was very strict with Carl. And he came up, he said, "Oh, Dad, I just want to thank you." He said, "I understand what," he said, "she's only like not even two yet." He said, "But I understand what it's like and what you probably had to put up with us lot and with mum." Because obviously he sits in the car park if he has an argument with his missus. He'll go out in Wales, won't he? Because he can't turn up here. It's too far for him to come. So we go to the local car park. They've had a little fallout. And he just really showed his appreciation to me. And he gave me a kiss on the lips too, and I was shocked, because he's not like that. He's a little bit standoffish. Give me a hug, and every time he comes up here now, it's respect. Isn't it, love? He even gave me the best Christmas present. There you go. I think Kim got a little bit jealous over that one. But that blessed me a lot, because people, even though I was tough back then, they see the love, because there is love in this when you hold the line. And they see that I genuinely care, and I'm still doing what I've always been doing. And I still talk to them the same way as I talked to them when they were younger, don't I, Dan? He's like, "Dad, I'm 30 odd now." But your kids are still your kids, and you still lead them. You know, far as I'm concerned, I'm still leader. I'm still the leader. You ain't the leader over me, boy. You lead in your own house. But this is, Kim wants me to read this. What's that?
That was what Danny was doing on AI yesterday. Remember? But look what it says about our family.
Oh, it says, so Danny come up yesterday. So again, like fellowship. Like fellowship is so important. And, you know, so Danny, the respect. So Danny comes up every Saturday. He doesn't have to come up. I mean, he's worked hard all week, getting up at 5 o'clock, getting home at 7 o'clock sometimes in the week time. But he'll always come here. And sometimes on the way home, if he can pop in, he'll pop in. And Amber comes up here as well a couple of times a week. So the respect is there. Not that we don't demand that, but it's like they want to do it. And this is what blesses us, that people want to do things from the heart, because it's all about the heart, baby. So no matter what you know, what I know, how many times we've been doing fellowship and all that stuff, it's about heart. We've got to have heart for one another. God's got a heart for us. He doesn't care what we've done and what we haven't done, what we know and what we don't know, who we helped and who we haven't helped. He has heart for you. He loves you, right? And he loves me, and my kids love me, and I love my kids, regardless of anything. And I need your glasses, love. So it's a little bit small, that print. Right, so as it says, the Tor family.
So you better explain how that came up, because we were searching what AI thought of Lawrence Tor.
Oh, yeah, so we was messing around with AI, Gemini. So I said, "Oh, see what it says about Lawrence Tor." So anyway, it brought up all this stuff. He's good looking, he's handsome, all the girls want him. Right, anyway. But it says the Tor family synergy. So it says the ministry works because it's a family unit. Lawrence, the teacher, the blueprint. See, I'm the blueprint. Don't you forget it. No, I'm joking. This is what AI says. It says about my ministry, right? So the ministry works because it's a family unit. Lawrence, the teacher, the blueprint. Kim, the encourager, the heart. Danny, the demonstrator, the action. And Amber, the visionary, the future. Together, they are showing that if Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren, then a whole family can walk in the same power. Would you like me to find one of Danny's specific audio sharings, like God gives us the best way to live for you to listen to? So it was giving questions.
It was phenomenal, actually.
And stuff like that. But it was very, very clever how it can get from my website that type of information and put it together and give a description. But it's pretty accurate, really. But not that we go by that anyway, because no, we want to see the fruit of what we're doing. But these guys had one accord, and that's what you've got to have. For a family to be successful, there's got to be one accord in it. If someone's out of balance there, it ain't going to work. There's going to be divisions. There's going to be arguments. We've had periods of time where we haven't been agreeing. And I argue with her, and she argues with me, and then it has a knock-on effect, you know, because I speak to Danny, and this is going back ages ago. I speak to Danny, or I even say to Amber, "Oh, she's being really funny," and blah, blah, blah. And they're saying different things, and speak to Carl, and then speak to Leanne, and she'll have a little gossip with Leanne, and all this stuff, and then Leanne will come and tell me something, and I'm like, oh my God. So you can see that that's on a small family scale. What is it like in a ministry scale when people start talking about each other and griping and complaining? You know, there's no unity there. There's no purpose there. There's no commencement. So when those things do happen, we want to resolve it pretty quick. We want to get it out in the open, flush it out, let the light of God shine on it so that everyone can really be blessed, have that peace, have that direction in their life, have that. Because if we have that, if we bring this to the table, it's going to affect everything. So we want to be pure, don't we? And when people are not saying the right things, it puts it out of balance. Listen, the words that we speak affect everything around us. So, and it's easy. Listen, it's easy to point fingers, isn't it? You know, we can all take a shot at each other, right? All of us, because we all got a carnal nature. So you'll do things wrong, and I think, well, what is he doing, or what's she doing? You know, and I can look at it carnally, and I can speak carnally about it, and all of a sudden, everything's affected, and we're all being carnal, and then it just takes away the power. There's no signs and miracles and wonders happening. There's no testimonies happening. So we got to keep it clean, and it's just learning to discipline and control our thinking. When we got an opinion on something, sometimes, I know it's hard, but sometimes we've just got to learn to keep our mouths shut. And sometimes we've got to learn to keep our opinions to ourselves. Even though we really want to strongly express how we feel and what we see, we've got to give it to God. Like, Father, look, I see these things. I know it's carnal. And I just thank you that your help conduct me and work in me so I can conduct myself in the right manner, given the right attitude, with the right responses. And sometimes we're going to blow it royally. That's fine. There's always forgiveness, you know. But we can learn from things. We want this to be strong. We want everyone that comes on here to be strong. My job is to connect you to go to God. Now, you go to God. Like, I've gone to God. Like, I stay connected with Sangha, like I've explained before. I call him, you know, once every 7 or 8 or 9 days. Or sometimes I might call him a couple of times in a week. It all depends what's going on. And I also look at his schedule, so I don't want to bombard him either. So it's like I also look at his schedule. And then from there, you know, I make my decision whether I'm going to call. But Sangha is just encouraged, like he's telling me what's going on, some testimonies, and then I might ask a couple of questions. But he's not really telling me what to do. We're just talking back, forward and backwards of different things. And then Sangha saying a few things, and I'm thinking, oh, that's really great. Oh, I'll take that on board that. And then I just go and practice what I'm doing. So that's how it works. That's how it should work. You know, God's working in us. You've got to have confidence that God's working in you. And also, you've got to know what you're doing. What are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? God had me ask myself this. All right, Lawrence, why are you doing what you're doing? Like, you're doing the fellowship, you're traveling. Why? What's your vision? What's your purpose? Remember that, you know, and that's what we've got to bring it back to. I want to see God's word move all over the world. This is why I still got the hunger and desire, like when I was 20 years old. I want to see many fellowships. I want to be able to go in there and bless people and build them up and raise up the laborers and help people come out of situations. And, and see people happy and joyous, and us all moving together and doing things together. You know, that's the whole purpose, you know, to raise up the leaders. I've always wanted to do, and I'm doing it, you know, it's all been different all the way through. But now, as we go on further, you get more maturity, you get more wisdom, and, like, you know, you've got to know what you're doing. Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? You know, like I reminded people about the trip, you know, to the USA, you know, that what was the purpose of that? How did it begin? How do we want it to continue? And so, and I've already told you already know, I'd have to say it again, you know, so it's like, we know the purpose of what we're doing. So that's the purpose there. Now, are you on board or not? And you don't have to be if you don't want to. And that's the great thing, because you've got freedom of choice. But you still got to think, what am I doing? Am I being fruitful with the people I'm hanging with? Are they adding into my life? It's not about just us adding into other people's life, but what are they adding into my life? I've got to have some blessings there from people. I'm not on about money. I'm on about words, encouragement, you know, and support. We all need support. I'm supporting you. Like, I'm there for you. I'm there. Like, no one will talk about you to me. No one. Even if they're right, I won't have it. And that's how we got to be. We defend each other. That's what we got to do. For the gospel's sake. So the word can move. And it lives in our heart as well as living everybody else's heart. Anyone can point the finger. Anyone can, you know, have that one-upmanship. Lots of people like to have that one-upmanship. Well, you know, I come from here and I come from there and I've done this. It doesn't matter what you've done. What are you doing? And why are you doing what you're doing? So these things I encourage some people that come to me, because it's very important to ask yourself that. And what's your goal now through the rest of this year? You know, we got things coming up that we're going to do, but what's your main personal goal with God? Like, what do you want to see accomplished? What do you want to see happen? And don't let money get in your way, because that's the thing that stops everyone on every level. Oh, I can't do that because I haven't got the money. Well, no, you make the arrangements to do it and the money will come. That's how we live. The just live by faith, not by sight. So this is our faith is putting into operation, see? We're not living on a carnal way no more. We're in the carnal, but we don't have to move in that carnal understanding of living and moving. God wants to lead us by the Spirit. He wants to show you great and mighty things that you know not. He wants to show you how he's going to get rid of your debt. He wants to show you how he's going to pay your mortgage and you don't have to worry about it. He wants to show you how your latter end is going to be better than your beginning. Right, he wants to do all these great things. You think God's got greater things for you than we even plan for ourselves or desire for ourselves. You know, if you look at Job's life, my gosh, God bless Job, you know, through his wrong confession, his wrong perception of the situation, Satan was able to come in. We don't want to glorify him. He's defeated, foe anyway. He's already defeated. We've got to remember this. He's already defeated, so we don't empower him. But we're not ignorant of him and his devices. He's a deceiver. That's the only way you can move against him, by deceiving you. And so we got to be alert. We've got to be on the ball. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God. He's a clever old dude, right? But God has given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and how to move. God wants us to move in authority. He wants us to move in power. He wants us to move in strength. He doesn't want us just to do our own thing. We're not here to do our own thing. Really, you're free to do your own thing. See, we have to get these things in balance, right? You know, listen, we're all free to do what we want. But then there's that submission, you know, from a free will heart. God wants a willing heart. No, God can call on you anytime. He can speak to you audibly. He can show an angel up to you in front of you if he wants to, and he can ask you to do something. But would you be willing to do it? Or would you be worried about what other people have to say about it? Now, right now, you might be saying, no, I'll do it. Would you? Because if you can't do the simple things that are in front of you, where people are alive in front of you, encouraging you, how would you do what an angel would tell you to do? Now, not even John the Baptist's dad wanted to follow suit, did he? You didn't believe what Gabriel had to say to him about naming John, when he was born. And so he was muted, so he couldn't speak against the prophecy of what Gabriel said to him about John. So he couldn't speak for a season, you know? Because that shows you how important your words are, what you're speaking. And so don't be tempted to chit-chat. Don't be tempted. Don't be tempted to fall into gossip. Well, you know, I don't agree with what she said. Or don't go down that road. Seriously. We've all done it because we're all carnal at times, right? But don't do it. I'm giving you encouragement now. Don't do it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Speak the good words. Eulogia in Ephesians. Have a look at it again. Beautiful record. I'll make this my sharing, all right, as I started off. So anyway, Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So you're doing anything you're doing in life is by the will of God, right? To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Faithful is people that are full of believing. That's what faithful means. People that are following. People that are practicing. People that are not moaning and complaining and bitching and biting and griping. But they're actually doing the things that they're encouraged because they hear the voice of God through the person, whoever it is that may be speaking, right? So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace. Grace be to you. So the first thing God is saying, grace be to you. My favor to you. Let me do the work for you. Chill out. It's like me coming in the house and, you know, Kim's up there and Kim says, oh, let me make a cup of tea. I'm like, no, let me do it for you. I'll make the tea for you. You relax. I'm giving her grace so she doesn't have to get up and do it. She's probably been doing it all the day long or whatever, right? But I give grace. So God's given us that grace. Don't worry, I'll do the work for you. Relax. Chill out. Take a chill pill. Take the gospel. Right? Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. So God doesn't give confusion. He doesn't give us worry, doubts, and fears. He gives us peace. And it's peace that will enlighten the mind. It's peace that passeth all understanding and reasoning. And from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, he's already done it. Everything he's going to do is done. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, this eulogia, God has spoken all his words over you. When God calls those things which are not, they become. Light be, and it became. And all the things that he said to the earth, you know, to make it form and grow, it became. God calleth those things which are not as though they were. He's spoken all his blessings. All the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen. They're already yours. They're all waiting to be claimed. Your healing's waiting to be claimed. Your abundance is waiting to be claimed. Your labors are waiting to be claimed. Your ready-made field is waiting to be pastured by you. God's got everything there. You've got to walk in this completeness. And it's done spiritually. You've got to bring the spiritual into the physical. And it's called the just live by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then as we get those mental pictures from God through the words he's spoken, as we see it and declare it and speak it and move towards it, it becomes manifest because God is the one that materializes it. God is the one that wants it to work. God showed Joshua how to move wherever he put his foot would be his. He showed them how to do it. He said, you'll meditate in my law. What I've said. Meditate in what I've said day and night. That word meditate means to mutter, to say to oneself, to imagine. It also means imagine because when you speak, you will build pictures in your mind. There'll be certain things that you're describing. In fact, you use your imagination all the time. You know, when you park your car at the car park, you've got to have that in your mind. You know, you've got to remember where you parked it. You're using your imagination. Oh, yeah, I parked it. And then you can see yourself where your car's parked. Then you can navigate yourself to it. When I go into the gym, I got a locker, and there's many, many lockers. And I got to remember which locker I put in it. I take a double take on it with my eyes, and I take a picture with my eyes. I go blink, and then the picture's there. Locker number 95. And then I don't forget where it is, right? I know exactly where it is. I visualize it. I can walk to it and walk back. I can walk to the rooms where they are because I have already visualized it. I can walk through the gym where I am now. I can drive right from this spot here. I can get up, get in my car in my mind, and I can drive all the way down there, get my parking spot, get out, walk, go through the doors, get my towels, go into the changing room, change, go up to the gym, come back down, and then I know exactly where I'm going. And I visualize all that. And then I plan it out in my mind, and I execute it by taking the action. And then I achieve all those things. And that's how anything in this world is achieved. And that's where faith is in your mind. You know where you keep your knife and your forks, don't you? You can visualize it right now. You know where your favorite cup is. You know where that stash of money you put aside is. No, I'm joking. You know where these things are, right? Because you can imagine it if you recall it to mind. What are you recalling to mind? The images of the things that you're recalling to mind. Oh, yeah, I put it there. I remember now. You remember, you know? So when you learn to use your mind and your words together with the heart, then you see things happen, right? Because God's designed it for us to operate in that way. Yeah, he's already blessed. He's shown us what to do. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those that love it seek the fruit thereof. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you're thinking in there, you'll become. It starts materializing. It starts to happen. Can you ever remember talking bad about someone and then that person kind of turns against you? They don't even know you've talked bad against them, but then all of a sudden that relationship goes skew with. It's because you've spoken a frequency of wrong words and it's affecting you. Because our words, it puts us on a frequency. We're either on a high level frequency, moving with God in the power, or we're on a low level frequency. We're on a spiritual frequency or a worldly frequency. And yes, it is a frequency. It gives out signals. Your thoughts give out signals. Your words are affecting everything around you. Just like when Jesus, broke the bread and all the molecules and atoms replenished itself so that two loaves and five fishes, or the five fishes and two loaves, whichever way around that one is, like it was multiplied. Everyone got fed, thousands of people from a little. God always takes a little and makes it much. And so he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, according as he's chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Love. In fact, you are holy and you are without blame because Jesus Christ paid the price for that. I shared on Thursday about, your identity and your standing and your authority. And when we speak the carnal way, when we're thinking carnal ways, the things that I addressed earlier on in this sharing, then you bring that in rather than your authority and your power being manifested and the blessings of God going to work. So we kill off what God has made easy for us. Because it's not on the same wavelength. It's not on the same frequency. Gossip, talking about each other, thinking negative is a frequency down here. The other stuff that I'm talking about now is up here. Your authority, your blessings, the grace, the mercy, the favor of God going to work in your life. It's up here. That's where we want to be. And it's from our thinking. It's setting your face like a flint. It's controlling your thinking. And as you practice to control what you're thinking about, like Fannis, like you shared in his sharing, then you can start practicing what you're saying. When you're tempted to gossip, you won't gossip. Is this gossip or is this the gospel? What pill am I given? Am I given a poisonous pill? Deadly nightshade, which will kill everything off? Or am I given the gospel, that beautiful, the gospel that causes you to come up smelling of roses? Because that's how we should be living. We should be living in a good life. Like Sangate says, happy and smooth life. So these are things that I'm saying now for you to consider. And just remember, you're totally free. Yes, I'm a leader. I'm not over you. I'm not your boss with a whip. Do what you want. But do it from a free will heart and do it under the influence of the Holy Spirit, not under the influence of devil spirits. And devil spirits come through people's words. And they could be believers. So don't take any negative shit. Refuse it. Just like you refuse to let the negative thoughts affect you and come out your mouth, you refuse someone talking shit and tell them, excuse me, and the shit's in the Bible, by the way. And so you could tell them you're talking shit. I'm not going to listen to it. Shut up. I love you, but shut up. You're talking shit. We're not going to be gossiping here. We're not going to be tearing anyone down. In fact, our words are for edifying. So we use words to build up, not tear down. We have the ministry of edification, not destruction, remember? So this is where it's at, you know. And gossip kills the movement of the word. So if you want to see the word move, gossip needs to be squashed. And it starts with us, individually, right? And you're free to do whatever you want. So you choose. You choose. Choose you this day, death or life. And God says that. But I'll finish off. Just bear with me. So this is food for thought. And if you're challenged by anything I'm saying, then I'm doing my job. If you're not, then I need to be a bit more stronger than I think. What are you joking? But it's like, if you're challenged, good. Like, really good. What was that record? Just bear with me 1 minute. Right. Here we go. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord Jehovah, choose you this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land dwells. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to serve God. We want to serve the Lord. We don't want to serve anything that takes away God's blessings, God's adding to us the fruit. We want that peace that we got when God, you know, God blessed us with all spiritual blessings and grace and peace. That's what should be manifested in our life. Grace and peace, not confusion. You know, perhaps you need to stay where you are, get connected, stay where you are, get where there's strength and where there's blessings, where there's accountability. There's no lone rangers in the body of Christ. Yeah, you can move on your own if you want to. It's not a good idea. You need to get where there's strong people that will pull you up, that will say, hey, hold on a minute, what are you doing? What are you saying? You know, it's good. It's good. Not that it's going to happen all the time. But it's like, you know, it should be encouragement, moving forward, strength. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. Thank you for listening. And I'll open up with a word of prayer. And then I'm going to pass it straight to Danny and Amber. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful leaders meeting. Thank you for how you energize and work in your people. Thank you for your voice being heard this leaders meeting today. Thank you for everyone being blessed, every need being met. Thank you for everything being supplied. Thank you for everyone being greatly encouraged, Father, knowing that I ask that you give us all a willing heart and that we don't do anything from resentment or hard-heartedness, but that you clear out any of that stuff, Father, and that you bring in the willing hearts, the desire to move and live unto you, the love, the encouragement, the faithfulness, all that good stuff, Father. That's what we want. We want a nice smoothie from you, God. So I thank you for giving us a nice smoothie of all these wonderful things that you've recorded and you've given to us and that we and who we are in Christ. Let those flavors play out in our life. Let's be that sweet smelling savor unto the praise of your glory. So I thank you for blessing everyone as they share and for working in their hearts greatly. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.